Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Luke 2 verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season in particular where we can stop and ponder what you did when you came in a manger for us, and help us to never get over that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Do you remember what it was like to wait for Christmas as a child? My mom, she used to have this calendar in our kitchen, and on this calendar, it would count down the days till Christmas. Any of you have a calendar like that in your house that kind of counts down the days? And as a child, it seems like Christmas could not come fast enough. Now, some of you guys wish that, man, put the brakes on. Christmas is coming too fast. How many feel that way? It's coming too fast. We've got too much to do, too many shopping trips still to make. But as a child, it seems like Christmas, it seems like December's the longest month of the year. It seems like it comes terribly slow, counting down the days, and then finally Christmas Day comes, and all that anticipation, the expectation. My mom, she used to always play this dirty trick on us. She never put our names on the Christmas packages. She put reindeer names. I don't know who taught her this, how she came up with this, so that we didn't know which package was ours. We didn't know which one to shake. So we just shook all of them, and we'd try to guess which reindeer names we were. But then One thing as a child that we kind of had gotten used to in our home was the fact that dad's a preacher and dad likes to read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. That's a good tradition, and I really enjoy reading the Christmas story. But as a child, it seems like my dad, sometimes he wouldn't read a few verses. There's 52 verses in Luke. He would read every single one of them and exegete some of the words and responsive reading. And the truth is, none of us like to wait. None of us like to wait for things, and our society, I don't like to wait, you don't like to wait, our society doesn't like to wait. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to speed up everything that we can. That's why we have instant coffee, we have instant downloads, instant messaging, instant weight loss, et cetera, et cetera. Trying to speed up life as fast as we possibly can because we don't like to wait. I remember when I was in high school, it seemed like, well, when I was in junior high, it seemed like so far away until I was in high school. And when I was in high school, graduation seemed so far away. When I was in high school, getting my driver's license seemed so far away. College seemed so far away. And whatever was next just seemed so far away. It couldn't come fast enough for me. As we approach this passage, there's a man in Jerusalem. His name is Simeon. And he is waiting in Simeon. He's been waiting for a long time for a promise from the Lord. We don't know exactly how old Simeon is at this point in Scripture, but we can guess that he's an old man. He's been waiting a while on a promise from the Lord. And Simeon lived in Jerusalem, and there we are told in verse number 25 that he was waiting the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel. That's talking about a comfort or a relief. You see, during this time, the Jews were oppressed. They were under Roman rules. At some point in time, they were taxed up to 75% of their income, and they did not like this. It was an oppression. So this was a term that was used frequently among the Jews, the consolation of Israel. It spoke of the Messiah. It spoke of a promise. It spoke of a relief coming to them, the consolation of Israel. And unlike many of the Jews living at this time, Simeon was part of a small remnant of believers who studied the Scriptures, believed in God, and understood the prophecies and was prepared to accept the Messiah. And then God actually promised Simeon that he would not die until he saw Christ. What a great promise God made to Simeon. Verse number 26, he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, just so happened the Messiah had been born just a few weeks earlier in the town of Bethlehem. And now Mary and Joseph are making a trip from Nazareth, their hometown of 100, to Jerusalem of about 100,000 people, about a 100-mile journey. And it was a difficult journey to be made. And they made this journey to take Jesus, to present him at the temple in Jerusalem, which was the custom at the time. 40 days, here we are in this passage of scripture, about 40 days after the birth of Christ. And while Simeon is in Jerusalem waiting, Jesus is coming. He doesn't know how much longer he'll have to wait, and we don't know how long he had been waiting, but he's waiting for the Messiah. We're going to talk about Simeon in just a moment, but first you'll notice in your notes, we'll see in this passage the humility of Jesus. Before we talk about Simeon, don't get over the fact that Jesus is mentioned in this passage as a baby here. We see the humility of Jesus. First of all, Jesus became a baby. This is God in the flesh as a baby. Jesus became a baby. Incarnation, the word incarnation means to become flesh, and God became flesh. Someone once said that the greatest mystery of the gospel is the incarnation. Spurgeon said it this way: he who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he eternally was not, and continued to be what he eternally was. Now, if that's confusing you, it confuses me. It's difficult to understand why, to say the very least, God would become a flesh and become a baby. But it was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel," which means God with us. In the garden, Satan, in Genesis chapter 3, Satan lied to Eve. And one of the lies he told Eve, he said, "You can be like God. You will be like God." Aren't you glad that the exact opposite was true? We didn't become like God. God became like us to provide salvation for us. Philippians says, "He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." Now, Simeon did not have to become like God in order to see God. God became like man in order to allow Simeon to see him. Think of this. God became a baby. I don't know about you. I like holding my nephews and my nieces, but I don't really like holding babies because they're so fragile. They're so helpless. They can't do anything for themselves. And here's God, all-powerful God, became a baby. We see the humility of Christ. He became a baby. Not only did he become a baby, but he became poor. He became poor. Verse number 24 says this: "And to offer a sacrifice to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." This is the reason that they're coming. Mary and Joseph are going to present Jesus at the temple, but they're also going to make an offering to the Lord. Now, the trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem was a costly trip, and lodging and travel was expensive for them at this time. And not only did they have to pay for their travel, but there was actually a fee, a firstborn fee that for every firstborn child in the tribes of Israel, except for the tribe of Levi, they had to pay a firstborn fee of 5 shekels upon the firstborn son. So this is a costly trip for Mary and Joseph, but they make this trip and they make this sacrifice and they come and they make an offering. And the Bible says in Leviticus 12, verse number 6, "And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove for the sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priests." And see, the law said that they had to bring a lamb, but it made provision for those who were poor, who could bring some turtle doves, bring some pigeons in place of a lamb. So we see that Mary and Joseph, they have no lamb, and they come and they're poor. They couldn't afford a lamb. Jesus became a baby. Jesus became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." So we see the humility of Christ. He was a baby. He became poor. And then he came under the law. He came under the law. Matthew 5:17 says, "Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And we see in this passage even that he was circumcised the eighth day. He came under the law. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." Now, this is difficult for us to even understand why Christ would do this. And I point this out to say, look at the humility of Christ. Christ is traveling now as a baby. This is God in the flesh with Mary and Joseph traveling to Jerusalem. Don't get over the fact that God humbled himself. God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross we read a moment ago. So Simeon is in Jerusalem waiting. Jesus is traveling with Mary and Joseph. And Jesus was the hope of salvation. Jesus was the consolation of Israel. Stanley Jones, a medical missionary to India, once wrote in his journal, he says, the early Christians did not say with dismay, look what has come to the world, look what the world has come to. And we can say that, and we say that frequently. We turn on the news and say, look what the world has come to. But he says, but instead they delight, look what has come to the world. They saw not merely the ruin, but they saw the resource for the reconstruction of that ruin. They saw not merely that sin did abound, but they saw that grace did much more abound. On that assurance, the pivot of history swung from blank despair, loss of moral nerve, and fatalism to faith and confidence that at last sin had met its match. And that's when Jesus Christ came. Sin has met its match. Jesus was that sin solution. Now we understand why Simeon's waiting. He's waiting for that consolation. He's waiting for that answer. He's waiting for that relief. So we see the humility of Jesus, but secondly, in this passage, we see the testimony of Simeon. The testimony of Simeon. Verse number 25 says this, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, God can use whoever or whatever he wants to accomplish his will. Times in Scripture, he used the donkey to accomplish his will. He could use whoever and whatever. But it's no surprise to us as we read this passage. Here's Simeon. Think about it. So incredibly blessed by a promise of God that you are going to see the Messiah. What an incredible blessing. But then you read of Simeon's character, and he was just and devout. You look at Mary and Joseph, they were just and devout. I don't think it's any surprise that Simeon had a good testimony. Just, that speaks of his testimony before men. Devout, that speaks of his testimony before God. The word Simeon, the name Simeon means hearing. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's Simeon, who had a deep relationship with God, that understood the scriptures. How's your testimony? Could this be said of you? The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, the birth of Christ is incredibly detailed. You can read about the birth of Christ in prophecies in the Old Testament and in multiple books in the New Testament. We get such an incredible, intricate account of the birth of Christ. But we don't know much about Christ's teenage years growing up through early adolescence. But in Luke 2:52, the Bible says, and Jesus was our example. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So here's Simeon. He was just and devout before God and before man. Here's God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, increased in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. Acts 24:16. Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and before men. Simeon was right before God and before men. Simeon, his faith was the real deal. Now think about it. Simeon had such an incredible faith, yet he'd never seen Jesus perform one miracle. He'd never seen him walk on water, raise someone from the dead, heal someone, give someone sight, and yet he had complete, total faith. And others witnessed firsthand the miracles of Jesus and denied him. So we see Simeon's faith. He was just and he was devout. And not only was he just and devout, but he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Three times, verse number 25, it says, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Holy Ghost, verse number 26, the Holy Ghost revealed to him. Verse number 27, the Holy Ghost led him to the temple. So he was just and devout, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus in John chapter 14, speaking to his disciples, and he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seemeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We have an incredible gift that even the disciples at that time did not have, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And here's the difference that Jesus said, for he dwelleth with you now, but remember the day of Pentecost and from then on, and shall be in you. What an incredible gift that God is with us and in us. He was led, Simeon was led by the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Who's calling the shots in your life? Imagine for a moment that Simeon made a conscious decision to reject the prompting of the Holy Spirit that day. The day that the Holy Spirit goes, go to the temple, as he was led to the temple. What if Simeon had ignored that? Imagine the wonderful opportunity, the incredible blessing that he would have missed out had he chosen to call the shots in his life. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And so now the Holy Spirit leads Simeon to the temple. Mary and Joseph are just finishing up their journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And I can imagine that Simeon's out there on the steps of the temple. And he's waiting, he's looking. And I don't know, had it been months, years, or decades that Simeon was waiting. But he's waiting. I can imagine every day he's waiting. And maybe one day he sees a young couple with a baby. And he gets his hopes up. Maybe that's it. And God says, no, no. And then one day, there they are. A young couple with a baby. And the Holy Spirit says, that's them. That is Jesus the Savior. He was led by the Spirit. And the Bible says that day came. And when he came, verse number 28, it said, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Isn't that awesome? Simeon's holding Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. What an awesome blessing. He was led by the Spirit. But notice, thirdly, he was satisfied in Christ. He was satisfied in Christ. Verse number 29 says this, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy will, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I think it's awesome. He was promised that he should not die until he sees the Messiah. But he got to do far better than that. How often we have something in our mind that, man, that would be great, but what God has in plan, has in store is so much better. And Simeon's like, man, if I could just see the Messiah, and it was promised him that he would see the Messiah, but he actually got to hold the Messiah. What a blessing. He was satisfied in Christ. Paul said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The presence of Christ is far better than anything that this world could offer. Christ is our sufficiency. And so Simeon, he experiences this incredible moment, the greatest moment of his life. He holds baby Jesus, God in the flesh. And as soon as he holds him, he says, look, I'm ready to die. I'm satisfied. Are you ready to die? I know that's kind of a weird question. No, none of us wants to die. But are you that satisfied in Christ where if God said, hey, it's time, you'd be thrilled to be in the presence of God? He was satisfied. Christ is our sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of ourselves, anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. God has blessed us with so many blessings. We need nothing else. As Fanny Crosby said the hymn writer, you take away everything. Take away the whole world, but just give me Jesus. He was satisfied in Christ. But then notice finally the prophecy of salvation. The prophecy of salvation. We saw the humility of Christ. We saw the testimony of Simeon. But now Simeon prophesies. And God uses him to prophesy. And he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Referring to Jesus. Jesus was the salvation. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. First Simeon said that Jesus is the light of salvation. Jesus is the light of salvation. This was prophesied, Isaiah 49:6. I will give thee a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Matthew 1:21 says, and he shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. So God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, to save his people, not from their enemies, not from their political turmoil, not through their financial difficulties, but to save them from their sins. You've heard it before. Our greatest need was salvation, and God sent a Savior. So Jesus is the light of salvation. And Simeon takes a moment to say, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles as well. That's us. This passage applies to us. Thousands of years later, we have seen in the glorious light of salvation. What an incredible promise that we've partaken in. The Wright brothers, in December of 1903, after they made many attempts to fly, they were finally successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message back to their sister, Catherine, and they said this in this telegraph: "We've actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." And Catherine, she was so excited, she hurried with that telegraph and gave it to the editor of the local newspaper. And he showed it to him, and he glanced at the message and said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the fact that they had flown. He missed it. As we travel, or even take a trip to the mall, we look around, everyone's busy getting ready for Christmas, but how many people are missing the true meaning of Christmas? About doing so many things, but they've missed it. And Simeon prophesies Jesus is going to be a light, not to the Jews only, but also a light to the Gentiles as well. So Jesus is the light of salvation, but then finally, Jesus is the final sin offering. Jesus turns to Simeon, and now Simeon turns to Mary and talks to Mary and says in verse number 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This is the first sour note, the first negative verse in all of Luke. I mean, everything is going so great. We get to verse number 35, and he says to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul." And sure enough, John 19:25, we read, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, Mary." And Simeon says, "Look, there's going to be a time your soul is going to be pierced. There's going to be some tremendous suffering, because Jesus came to die for us." On that day that Simeon met Mary and Joseph at the temple, we said that they were poor. They couldn't afford an offering. There was two offerings that they were going to make that day: a burnt offering. This was a voluntary offering. Then a sin offering, an offering of atonement. And they couldn't afford a lamb. Little did they know, or maybe they did know, they had the Lamb of God with them. They may not have had a physical lamb. They had the Lamb of God, the final sin offering. And so Simeon tells Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sins for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Aren't you glad that Christ came as a baby with the ultimate purpose to go to the cross to be our final sin offering? That is the greatest gift ever given. And now because of that, we can live expectantly. I think there's a few lessons we can learn from this passage. I think we can live expectantly. Simeon was clinging to the promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament. There are more prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ than the first. We can live expectantly. I think we can ask ourselves, how's our testimony? I think we can ask ourselves, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me? I think there's one other question we can ask ourselves. Look in verse number 33 and we'll be done. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now think about this. Mary and Joseph, here they had both been visited by an angel. On the night of the birth of the Savior, there were shepherds that came to visit. There were more angels that came and sang. They'd seen a lot of pretty incredible things, some supernatural things. And here's Simeon's prophesying that, hey, Jesus is going to be a light unto the Gentiles, a light unto the Jews, a glory of the Jews, and he's going to suffer, but he's the final sin offering. And they marveled. Here they'd seen some incredible things, and yet they were still amazed. How about you? When you read through the Christmas story, we see a program like tonight. You'll undoubtedly hear some verses on Christmas. We'll read through some Christmas passages the last few Sundays, of the next few Sundays. Are you still amazed by what God did? Here's Mary and Joseph, and they marveled. They were still amazed. Don't get over the fact that God became a man to die for us. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.